The energy's alive. All the sunshine has brought us back to life. My name is Christy, and I'm usually off with the kids and the youth on different Sundays, but this morning I get the privilege of being in here with you. And we have been journeying through a series on Jesus, Behold the Man. And today we come to Palm Sunday, as Holly had shared, the Sunday when Jesus came humbly riding into town on a donkey and making the declaration that he was the king. And in the past number of weeks, we've been walking through the Jesus I Am statements, and we've got to know a little bit more about who he is as we've walked through these in the Gospel of John. We've seen Jesus as the bread of life, the one who nourishes us. We've seen Jesus as the living water. He says, I am the living water. You do not have to thirst anymore. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd, the one who leaves the 99 to go after the one. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has conquered death. And today we come and we get to look at his last statement where he says, I am the vine. Now, I have shared this story before, but back in September, I got to go and do the El Camino de Santiago with my mom and my daughter, Zariah. And for 13 days, we trekked through Portugal and Spain, and we went along the coast. And then we cut in, and for a few days, we actually got the opportunity to walk alongside these vineyards. And some days we even walked through them, and there would be vines just growing above us. And the fruit, these grapes would be just, it was harvest season. So some of these vines were just like dripping with fruit. There's just grapes everywhere, and they tempted us along the way. Soraya and I would just be like, oh, we just want to pick that fruit and enjoy it. And it was just, so fascinating, and it would just draw us in. And then we went to this one, we stayed at these Airbnbs, and we went to this one home, and the lady had a vineyard. And she, like, we literally had just put our bags down, and she was like, come with us, come with me, come with me. And she took us out to her garden. She had trees of all different kinds, and then her vineyard, and she'd started harvesting her grapes, but she'd saved some just for us. And so she picked them for us. She took off these clusters of grapes and gave them to us to enjoy. So here's some pictures just like walking along. And this was all from her garden. She picked these fresh apples and these fresh grapes and the fig. And then she had made wine with her grapes, and she gave us a bottle of wine to share. And she was just so passionate and excited to share of the fruit from her vineyard. And that was just my experience of a vineyard. But today, I'm going to invite us in as Jesus invites us in. He's inviting us to come and walk in the vineyard in John 15. So I'm going to read from John 15, 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, and whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Let's just pray before we dive in. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came as a humble king. You came as one who walked this earth and knows all things that we go through, Lord. You suffered on the cross and you died and you rose again. And we thank you for the promises of your truth that you have spoken to us and who you are. And I just pray that this morning we would come to know that full well. And bless this word in your name, amen. So we have this part as we're walking in the vineyard that Jesus is inviting us into, that he is the vine. I am the vine. And now maybe to some of us, this seems like his analogies have been a little bit hard to understand. Like, I am the good shepherd. You're like, well, I don't have any sheep. I don't know what it's like. I am the vine. I don't know. Maybe some of you have tried growing a vine at home in your garden, but I'm pretty sure that most of us do not have a vineyard at home. And we don't understand this full experience. It might seem a little bit out of our regular world. You're probably not thinking about vines every day. But Jesus was using something in his time and culture that was very symbolic to them, that the vine represented blessing. The Israelites knew this. It was full of richness. It's mentioned over 50 times in the Old Testament. And beyond that, in culture, it was one of the most significant forms of agriculture at that time. The vine and its wine and its fruit, it held immense economic importance in the ancient society. Vines were often crafted in on temples and on doorways and gates and different things. It was something they were very well acquainted with. And God, even in the Old Testament, he referred to the Israelites, his chosen people, as his vine. He had called them this. In Psalm 80, verse 8, he says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it." He brought the Israelites out. He brought them into the promised land. They were his vine. But Israel did not live in obedience, and it grew into a wild vine. Jeremiah 2:21 says, "I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine?" They'd gone their own way. They'd gone wild. And in Isaiah 5, we have this beautiful God once again describing the vine. "I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out the winepress as well. Then he looked up for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why then did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down the wall, and it will be trampled." So God had planned for this vineyard. He had planned for his people to experience the promised land, to experience his goodness. But as we all know, we live in a broken world, and on their own, they could not do it. So this is where we come to the good news of Jesus. Jesus came. He came as a man. He came fully God, fully man, to earth. He is born in a humble stable, and he has now lived his life. He's been with his disciples. He's been sharing with them because God did not want to leave his people in this wasteland. He did not want to leave them alone. That is why he sent his son. And Jesus is at this point where he is sharing this last "I am," that "I am the vine." He is just a day away from being crucified. He knows that he is about to go and conquer death. So where we pick up where he is, they've just, it's Passover meal. They've gone to the upper room. They've sat around. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. And in the end of John 14, we have 31, and he tells them, come now, let us leave. So they've just finished their meal, and they're about to either go to the garden. So they're either on their way to the garden or just getting ready to go. And this is where he now says, I am the true vine. This is the last message he wants to leave with them. He's painting this image for them with his words. And he's wanting this, what will be etched in their minds, this familiar image of abundance. He wants to leave them. This is one of his last teachings, this image of abundance, that I am the true vine. I am the fulfillment of Israel, right? They've been waiting for this king, but now he's saying, I am the fulfillment. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's not the law anymore. You don't have to follow the law. It's not the temple. It's not the sacrifices, which this was huge new. Like, this would have been so hard for the Jews to just realize. Like, Jesus is saying, I am so much more. It's a big shift. All the plans and purposes of the Father are in Jesus. And the one that they were all now being invited to be grafted into. So, I don't know. Like, you can take a branch and you can graft it in. And it can then become one with that vine. That branch will grow into that vine. That vine will now be its source of life that everything is coming from. So, and Jesus says here, like, all now are being invited to be grafted into this. Doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, you know, you're male, female, all nations, every tribe, everyone was being invited to be grafted into this. And as he's saying here too, I am the true vine. He's warning them. There are false vines out there. There are false vines. And we as the branches, we are always going to be connected to something or someone. So I ask us, all of us, to think, what are the things that we're attaching ourselves to? What are we allowing to be the source of our life? There's things that are always me grabbing for our attention, right? I mean, there's things like work and school and sports and our kids' activities and maybe Netflix or the podcast we're listening to. All these things are shaping us. And they're telling us who we are. They're shaping our identity. They're shaping our values. They're shaping everything of who we are. And they're not all bad things, but they are shaping us. We are drawing from those sources. A few years ago, before we moved, I knew we were moving into a tiny home. So I was like, I need to start learning about decluttering. And so I would like watch all the like decluttering videos I could come across. I don't know if you know Marie Kondo. She's supposed to be like the queen of decluttering. And it's all like, you're supposed to hold everything up and be like, does this bring me joy? And if it does, you keep it. And if it doesn't, you're supposed to get rid of it. So I found myself always just walking around my house being like, okay, opening my closet, does this bring me joy? You know, like, and it was just, but it may seem silly, and decluttering is probably a good thing for all of us, but it was something that was everywhere I went in my house. This is what was playing in my mind. It was constantly playing in my mind. Oh, does this bring me joy? And so I realized it was shaping me. It was impacting the way I thought. It was impacting the way I viewed my home. And so it's just the things that we constantly put our attention to will impact the way we think. It will impact the way we view our lives, our homes, our relationships, everything. So that's one of my first questions. What are we allowing to speak into our lives today? We actually live in a time of increasing loneliness and increasing dissatisfaction in our culture. Could it be that we're trying to graft ourselves into non-living things? That we're trying to attach ourselves. We try to attach every part of ourselves to these non-living things without spending our time to attach ourselves to the true living vine. When Jesus talks both times in this, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener in verse 1. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Both times that he mentions that he is the vine, he adds on. He includes. It's a relationship. He's inviting, there's community. He's the vine. The Father's the vine dresser. We are the branches. It's not just one. It's this community he's invited us into. That's what he wants us to be a part of. He wants us to be connected to him, the living source. The vine and the branches, they contain the same essence. When you look at the plant, you have this whole essence of it. The plant becomes one. All the nutrients, the roots, they're the same source. And the vine, it pumps this life through to the branches, allowing the branches to bear the fruit. And God, then the vine dresser, he desires to watch us grow, to thrive, to flourish. This is why he sent his son, that we may have life and have it to the full. I think too often we have this idea that, you know, God is looking at us with judgment. He's like looking, okay, you know, oh, they're going to mess up. There's something wrong, you know, and things like that. And, or the idea that he's disappointed in us, that we have to be perfect for him. And this is the lie the enemy wants us to believe. He created us. He wanted more for us. That's why he's inviting us to be grafted into the vine, the true source. He wants to delight in you. He adores you. Remember my friend in Portugal? Like, literally, we dropped our bag and she wanted us to run out so we could see her vineyard. He delights in us and wants that. Warren W. Wiersbe says, our union with Christ is a living union, so we may bear fruit, a loving union, so that we may enjoy him, and a lasting union, so that we need not be afraid. So as I said, there's these three involved here. Jesus, the vine, the true vine, the Father, who is the gardener, and us, those in Jesus, who are the branches, and we're called to remain in him. So the Father, he's the gardener, the one who walks in the garden every day, who enjoys the vineyard with great delight. He also looks for those vines that need extra care. He knows that this is its work, caring for it. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it be maybe more fruitful. Now, I spent some time just in my study looking at this and thinking, this cuts off. And in the Greek, the word is ero. And it actually means take away, to remove or lift up. And listening to Daryl Johnson speak on this, he says when we actually read this verse in the whole context of it, when he's saying he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may be more fruitful. The best interpretation may be he lifts it up in this case. We do have later on, he talks about the branches that are dead, he throws in the fire. And so if you're thinking just for a moment as a gardener, and there's this plant, and to know that for a vine dresser, every branch has great value and great worth. It would be too valuable to just, if you see a branch lying low, it would be too valuable to just cut it off right away. The vine dresser is going to come along, and he wants to do everything to try and make that vine produce fruit. So looking at what a vine dresser does and studying in that, they will actually walk through. And if they see a branch lying on the ground, often covered in mud, not getting the light it needs, more susceptible to mildew, that vine dresser is going to pick up that branch. He's going to wash that branch off gently and usually tie it up. Attach it to the vine more, attach it to another healthy, strong branch. He's going to attach it there and then see if it's going to grow and produce fruit. He's going to take care of it. And that's God's heart. Some of us are maybe stuck in the mud right now. We're feeling stuck in the mud, feeling that mildew, feeling that spot. And you're like, maybe I'm not bearing fruit. Oh, no. But you know, there's seasons in our life too, and that they're hard, right? And maybe you're in a season where you need God to gently pick you up, wash you off the mud, and tie you up to a healthy, strong branch. Because he wants you to enjoy the abundance. His other job is he comes along and he prunes those that bear fruit so that they may bear even more fruit. So, pruning can be painful. Cutting away things, allowing God to remove things. But it's necessary because it's in the process of pruning that it stimulates the growth. It increases the fruit. It decreases the risk of disease. And it allows the light to shine through to all the other branches as well. And if we grow wild, eventually the fruit's not as good. N.T. Wright says, "The vine dresser is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand." God's not going around just hacking off the branches. It's all in gentle care for our abundance, to experience the richness. Because he doesn't want us to be left alone and get tangled up in things that aren't going to be great for us, to lose experience, the light. The branches can keep growing, then they become weak and they break off. They stop bearing fruit. So pruning, and it's also not just removing those dead parts. Pruning's actually cutting the living parts and removing healthy things, good things, all so that more fruit. When we resist the work of God in our life, we can easily become tangled in the distractions of our world. And we become worn down, overwhelmed, and weary. And I know that I've been there. Sometimes if I forget that I'm tapped into the life-giving source, I easily become worried about finances, about, you know, my kids, about different things. It's so easy to get overwhelmed, the to-do list, all these things, when I realize that, no, there's so much more. And Jesus is also saying the Father comes along and prunes us not just for us, but for us collectively. He wants the whole plant to flourish. We are one body. So if one part of us struggles, then we all struggle. If disease seeps into one part, it impacts the whole plant. Like we all, God's removing, he's pruning some of those branches. Remember, so light can get to other branches. Maybe you're the healthy one, and that one that he's just picked up off the mud needs to be tied to you because you're the healthy branch. You can come alongside, you can mentor, you can disciple. We are all one. He's invited us into, connected to the true vine. So we all have a role. And now often we can read this and we can think, okay, what is our role? To bear fruit. That's what we think. We might think, that's my role. My role is to bear fruit. Yes, we will bear fruit, but that's just the result. We don't have to actively work at bearing fruit. That is the result. We're called to abide, to remain in him. It's actually quite simple. We don't even have to work. The Greek word for abide or remain is meno, and it means to live, to dwell, to make at home. We make at home with Jesus. He is our home in him. It's in him when we remain in him. And he uses this term in, actually, over and over again in here. He says, remain in me. I will remain in you. It must remain in the vine. You remain in me. If a man remains in me and I in him, over and over, he uses it in. Along, not with, not alongside, in. We're in a relationship with him. I in you, you in me. This is, he wants us to know we are fully connected. When that branch is grafted into the vine, it is fully connected. It is one plant. This is the essence of the Christian life, that we are in relationship with Jesus. E. Stanley Jones, he was an evangelist and a missionary to India, and he puts it this way that I just think the words are so perfect. The love of God invades me. The peace of God pervades me. The will of God persuades me, and I am wholly his. When we are in Christ, we are wholly his. As I remain in him, he remains in me. Those roots. So in those dry spells, I'm connected to those living roots, that living vine. Everything comes from this when we remain in him. My identity, my goals, my values, the love, the peace, the goodness of Jesus. I get to experience the richness of Christ living and moving through me. E. Stanley Jones also says, if Jesus is in us, then everything that is in Jesus is in us. This is kind of a mouthful, but it's just that if Jesus is in us, then everything that is in Jesus is in us. So everything that Jesus has, all the power, the connectedness to the Father, everything, all of it is in us. That should be encouraging for us. We should know that we have all of that. But then he shifts here and he goes on to say, however, apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's inviting us in. We can have full access to everything of him. He wants to share his love, his joy, his peace. He wants us to experience the goodness, the abundance, the richness. But apart from him, I don't know if maybe you've had luck. I mean, you cut off a branch and you left it there. Is it going to produce fruit? Is it going to be able to do anything? No, not usually. So apart from me, you can do nothing. And this might sting a little bit, and you're like, ouch. But actually, as I sat in that, I was like, there's actually great freedom in this verse, in saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not me. I don't need to do. I don't need to measure up to something. I don't need to be a better version of myself. I'm not adding to it. We're not trying to add to our to-do lists. We don't all have to go out of here and do more. That's not, like, he doesn't want us. He just wants to recognize that we are connected to this source, to realize we're invited into this relationship. Turn to me. Trust in me. My power is yours freely to flow through you. And Jesus says, I will do great things. He will then produce this beautiful fruit in us. We are enough. He just wants us to turn and remain in him. Now, I brought a light bulb because I thought of another analogy. I'm usually working with youth and kids. So we're like this light bulb. Like a light bulb, it was a great invention, right? It's great, but the light bulb on its own, is it, right? It's useless. It's not much use just sitting in a box or sitting on my shelf. It's nothing. But now, when I take the light bulb and I connect it to the lamp, the vine, the source, now it can shine brightly. It's going to illuminate the dark room, right? It's going to provide light in our world, in darkness. We can shine. So that light bulb is nothing on its own. And I think that's what Jesus is saying, right? Apart from me, yeah, there is a light bulb, but it's not doing what it was created to do. It was created to shine brightly. It was created to be a light. We were created to bear fruit as we remain in him and him in us. He's just saying, keep your eyes on me, keep trusting me, and allow my spirit to flow through you. A.W. Tozer says, I abide because I want to abide. And if my poor, weak will flops sometimes, if I'm ill, or if something goes wrong, or if my faith deserts me temporarily, why, I'm still abiding because I'm joined by a life union. So when we're that branch on the ground, we're still abiding, we're still connected to that source of life, that life union. And the beautiful result is we allow the vine dresser to care for us. If maybe you picked up on it. In this passage, we move from to bear fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. Lives that are flourishing with the fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians 5, 22, 23 lists, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Can you imagine if all people we walked around and our world was just filled with people full of this? We're full of this? This is what's overflowing from us? Not anger and bitterness and like holding grudges and unforgiveness, but we're walking around with this, that we're genuinely have the love of God flowing through us, and this is the fruit that is being produced. It would be amazing to see the opportunity that the Holy Spirit would have to impact our world. And remember, we don't have to go and work on all these things. You do not produce the fruit on yourself. It is allowing ourselves to be connected to the vine. It is allowing the vine dresser to care for us, to prune, to pick us up. So I hope that we're clearly hearing this. It's not that we're doing. All he's calling us to is to remain in him, to turn to him, to enjoy his friendship, to enjoy this relationship, to journey with him. And relationships and friendships are for the long journey. They're not for quick. Sometimes it takes a while for fruit to happen, right? Relationships take time and investment. And we turn to God. We listen. We sit at his feet. We open his word. I think Matthew said in the very first week when he said, I'm the bread of life. We don't just come on Sunday morning and we feast and fill up for the whole entire week and walk away and not eat, right? We're constantly in relationship with God. We're constantly talking to him in his word, allowing, surrounding ourselves in community, meeting with other believers. Those are the ways we remain connected to him. And so that is what will help us also in those dry spells. Now, I have a picture of a rose bush, and it's actually, you're going to think, that's not really a rose bush. There's a little twig shining up. Now, I have always loved real plants more than cut flowers. And so when my girls did dance recitals, we'd buy a rose and we'd plant a rose instead of a bouquet of flowers. So a few years ago, we had to move. And I was like, I can't leave my rose bushes behind. So I dug them all up and put them in big pots. I usually call my mom and ask for advice because she's the expert gardener. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, gave them some fertilizer, everything, trying to make sure that they were okay. But that summer, we weren't in a home. So they kind of just stayed in the pot. They didn't really look so good. They looked mostly dead. And I was like, well, it's probably because they're shocked, right? Because I had to dig them out. And then the next summer, I kind of forgotten about them a bit. They got left outside and we still didn't have a place to plant them. But I'd often tell the kids, go water the rose bushes, you know, just make sure that they got taken care of. But they were still looked more just like the dead stalk, kind of. And then last summer, we finally moved into had a place that I was going to go put them in the ground, but they were just like the dead stalk. And I was like, so devastated. I was like, they just look dead. They died. I was just like, these roses that we loved, but I was like, not ready to give up on them. So I got some good soil around them and then put some fertilizer in the pot with them, you know, and pruned them back more and just left them. I was like, but I already was kind of grieving inside, thinking they were totally dead. Well, now this picture is actually taken a couple weeks ago, and I went out, and Zora and I always go check them. We went out, and there's this new shoot. There's these new shoots of life. And actually, now there's way more. I should have taken a picture yesterday. And that rose just needed care, and it just needed time to rest. And it has come. There's life. There is beautiful life coming out of it. And I think God knows that about us, right? Sometimes we just need to rest and allow him to care for us. And there is hope, beautiful life, as we just stay remain connected to that stalk, that branch, the life of Jesus. Beautiful life will spring forth again. There will be fruit. I know that there's going to be roses on there. I know that there's going to be beautiful fruit in our lives here as we just practice that remaining in him, just turning to him, allowing him to speak to us, allowing him to have work in us. That's what we have to do. And I don't know if you're aware, but God is available everywhere, anywhere, always. So we don't have an excuse. And we don't have to worry, because actually, any time of day, anywhere you are, you can turn to God. And you can talk to him. And you can share in that relationship, in that connection. God's heart is good. He wants us. He wants to invite us in. John 3:16, one of the most famous, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He doesn't want us to perish. And all it is belief. Turn to him. And as Jesus ended in this passage, right before they go to the garden, he says in verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." He wants us to experience that joy of that good fruit. He wants us to bear that fruit that's just a joy to those around us, for others to enjoy, to taste and see the goodness of God. So know that it's not about what we have to do. And I don't know where all of us are at today, but know that our acceptance by God is not based on our performance. It's not how we feel about him in the moment. We don't have to be perfect enough, because sometimes we are stuck in the mud. It's there for us always. So we can rest in that. We can sit in that. So if you're not a follower of Jesus and you want to be connected to him, you want that power, that life source that never runs dry, the living water, the one that nourishes us, the one that cares for us, the one that left the 99 to go find the one, he's waiting to graft you in. Just turn and ask him. Maybe you're the one that's struggling today and you're feeling stuck in the mud. Come talk to one of us. Call out to God. Invite the vine dresser to pick you up, lift you up. Attach you to another living branch that's just healthy. Join a life group. You know, be connected in. And if you're thriving, well, delight in this. Love others. Share your fruit with others. And allow the vine dresser to still do the pruning so you can be even more fruitful. And allow him to use you to be a support to others. I think God just wants us to know, and I think Jesus left this image with us in his end. He wants us to know he's inviting us into this beautiful relationship. He wanted his disciples to hear this last word as they went out into the world, that it was about drawing people in and to this source of life, because he is the one. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the giver of good things. He wanted to invite everyone in, and he wanted us to have this close relationship. He talks often about his relationship to the Father, and he wants us to have this relationship. And I think of, I couldn't find the picture to share with you, but I often have this image in my mind when I think of this relationship. When all my kids were little, we had one of those ergos, like a wrap to tie the baby on. And I think most of our kids, Brad is a dairy farmer, my husband, he would often take the kids with him to work, and he would strap them on his back in the carrier, and they would just joyfully bounce along with the father, with their father. They would go and he would milk cows and do all sorts of things. And they would sleep on his back. They would go milk cows. They would chase cows. They would do all sorts of things in that carrier. And they just had pure delight being with their father, just going along with him and knowing that he was there taking care of them. And I think I just want us to have that healthy image that God's just inviting us to go along with him, just remain in him. And he wants to show us off also to the world. He delights in us. So go, remain in him to the life-giving vine.